You're an EMT on an ambulance. You are on your third day of working night shifts, and you are sleep deprived. As a result, you almost make a mistake, a near-miss event. One that anyone could have made, and maybe some of your coworkers have. Now, when you work again, under those right conditions, what is to say you will not make the same mistake? Is there a way to notify others of this mistake, or to improve the process, all while doing so anonymously as not to jeopardize your job? Sounds too good to be true? Turns out, it's more real than you think. Last month, we spoke with Dr. Jean Geiger-Brown and discussed the implications of poor sleep amongst EMS providers. Prior to that, we spoke with EMS providers who indicated some potential for poor clinical care while sleep-deprived or fatigued. Previous research in Patterson et al. In 2012 indicated that 41% of EMS providers had an adverse event or medical error within the previous year, with potential for that value to be greater. This being said, how can the EMS industry identify these error events without having providers be fearful of reprisal? In order to answer this, we spoke with Gary Wingrove, a member of the Center for Leadership, Innovation, and Research in EMS, about their new program, EVENT.
EVENT is a system we set up so that EMTs and paramedics could anonymously report patient safety events that have occurred. And then we spent a large part of 2011 working with an EMT safety committee to come up with what we call a paramedic near miss page. So we actually have two different tools on the same page. The first one relates directly to patients, and the second one is for near misses that paramedics might have. The EVENT system is operated by the Center for Leadership, Innovation, and Research in EMS, which serves both the U.S. and Canada. And so we're set up for reporting to come from individual EMS practitioners from either of the two countries. Once a report comes into the system, if it's patient safety related, we share that with the state EMS office where it was reported to have occurred. And then we also post it to a Google group that we have set up so that individual people can see the reports that come in. It is an anonymous system. People can be assured that we don't ask them who they are, where they're from. We simply ask for the state. And then we strip that off before making any information public.
How is EVENT going to benefit the industry and EMS providers? We asked Mr. Wingrove about some potential benefits for the industry.
Well, I think there are several factors in there. I can give you an example of something that was very helpful this week. I had some telephone time with the General Accountability Office and some other people discussing the drug shortage issues and how they impact EMS. And so we were able to share four reports that we've gotten into the EVENT system that directly relate to changing medications and the issues that that has caused for paramedics working in the field. We have had one report of a paramedic who wanted to give Curtizem, the replacement drug that they got from a different source, looked just like a succinylcholine vial. And the person reported giving the succinylcholine instead of Curtizem. So that's a fairly significant error, and we were able to share those with the General Accountability Office, and somehow those will influence a report on drug shortages at EMS that they're working on currently. We've also had some issues with some devices. When someone reports a device issue, we have a spot for them to identify the device to us. We're not currently publishing device names with reports. We strip those out before they go to the Google group or the state. Because we're still working on issues of liability that may be there. But we have had some device issues reported, and that will eventually allow us to potentially spend some time with manufacturers talking about issues that relate to equipment that EMS practitioners are using, and then potentially to have influence over future design of the equipment. We've had a case where In fact, it was our very first report into the system was an issue with a defibrillator. And after the provider had some consultation with the manufacturer, they actually changed the software in the defibrillators that are being distributed. So we've had a couple of instances of really good being able to use the information we've got so far in a really good way that hopefully will improve the safety of EMS practitioners as they continue to serve their communities.
Finally, we asked Mr. Wingrove how providers and organizations could find out more about Event and learn about the reported events of the EMS community.
Anybody that would like to be on that Google group just has to be asked to be added, and we'd love to add them to the group so they can get the reports as they come in. We're just in the process of finalizing our first aggregate reports, and NAEMT has been a real good partner with us. They've taken on the task of signing up what we call the site partners. So in terms of distribution, there are two methods. First is the Google group for the patient safety events. We do not do that with the newness events. And then the summary reports, which we'll give to the site partner associations and then also send through the Google group.
Mr. Wingrove expressed how incredibly user-friendly Event is, allowing providers to complete forms for near-miss, patient safety, and line-of-duty death events. Providers can find Event online at www.emseventreport.org. Links to Event and more information on CLIR can be found along with this podcast on our webpage. Stay tuned to MSARN for more interviews with experts on the field of EMS safety and sleep deprivation. To learn more about MSARN or to leave feedback on our podcast, log on to podcast.msarn.org. For MSARN, my name's Charlie Warner, and I'm just an ambulance driver. Thank you, and good day.